always talking to him. I'm always praising him. I'm always lifting him up. I'm always, always doing something to glorify him and to expand his kingdom. And so therefore, I am actively pursuing him. Y'all can say amen now. I ain't talking about money. So we got to seek him. Seek the kingdom. He said, seek ye first. So put the first thing in order. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is the king's domain. It's where he rules, where he reigns. And so in order first to be able to seek the kingdom, you got to know the king. And if you don't, you got to become a subject to the king. And so we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt us in due season. We got to submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, the Bible says this: submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Why in the world do we play into the devil's hand and not submit to God? First, we try to resist him with our might. We try to resist him with our words. We try to resist him with our prayer. But all I got to do is submit to God, and the devil will flee. And the word flee means that he'll hide from you because you're reminding him of Jesus Christ and the whipping he got on Calvary's Hill. I wish I had somebody in the house. We got to remember that if we submit to God and resist the devil, what does that mean? That means that I have to submit, give my all to God. I got to say, God, I'm yours and not my own. Come on and say amen. And I can resist the devil. Many times we got to understand that the enemy will try to come and take us captive, even in our own house, even on our own job. Somebody say amen. In our family, in our relationships, even in our body, he tried to capture us with diseases. But when you're in the kingdom of God, you can say, I'm free from that. You can say, I have salvation. I've been liberated from all of these things that the enemy might bring my way, because I have submitted. I'm part of the kingdom. Now listen, when you're part of the kingdom, there are benefits that you get in the kingdom. Amen. You know, there's a benefit if you're part of, you know, the United Kingdom. Miles Monroe said this. He said, if you're part of the United Kingdom, he said, there are some benefits you get. He said that in the United Kingdom, healthcare is free. He said, if you're in the United Kingdom, you can go to the doctor and you can get free health care. No money down, no money to pay when you leave. Free. He said, but if you're in the United States and you're a member of the United Kingdom or a citizen of the United Kingdom, you get sick in the United States, you got to pay. Why? Because you're out of the domain. And we need to stay in the king's domain. We need to make sure we're in the place God wants us to be. We need to make sure we're subject to the king and we know him. As David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures and lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I'm subject to the king. I submit to God. I draw near unto God, and he draws near unto me. Y'all still with me? Yeah. Y'all show y'all with me. Yeah. We got to understand the first thing, we got to be able to seek the Father, because when we seek the Father, that pleases him because it shows our faith. Our faith is in action. Without faith, we can't please him anyway. Amen. We can try to please him with actions, but that don't please him. It's faith that pleases him. When he sees our faith, amen, and our faith is when our faith is put in action, that pleases him. Amen. He says that first thing we got to seek is the Father. But then when we seek the Father, we have to have faith.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries Thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm number 27, verse 14. Psalms number 27, verse 14. This is a familiar number of Psalm 27. And verse 1, David starts off saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then when you jump down to verse 14, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." May the Lord add a blessing to the readings and the hearers of his most holy word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My brothers and sisters, one of the things that's so encouraging in this word is found in verse 14, and it is the encouragement of David to the believer, to the child of God, to the Christian, to understand that no matter amidst the trials, the struggles, the troubles and the temptations of life, if you have God on your side, you will make it. It begins with understanding that God is your light. He is your illumination. He brings revelation and understanding to your mind, your situation, your circumstances, whereby you're able to handle them through him. He is your salvation of soul and deliverer from issues and problems through deliverance. And so as this word is salvation, it is both salvation of soul and deliverer of circumstances and situations. When you know that, why should you fear? Secondly, of whom shall you be afraid? Because God is the strength of your life. And so my brothers and sisters, don't fool yourself. I don't care how holy you are, how righteous you are, how good you are. You will be challenged in this life. You will go through dark days amidst storms and circumstances that will many times challenge you to the core. But if you know who you are and whose you are, even when your enemies, the wicked, and all of these others who come upon you to eat up your flesh, the Bible says they're going to stumble and fall. Why? Because what they don't realize is you have God on your side who is able to do anything but fail. And so when we walk through these verses in Psalms. It's not but 14 verses, but when you walk through them, you begin to see how David unfolds various desires of his life, various circumstances and trials of his life, and to see how God works in mysterious ways. There are five words that literally come to the forefront of one's minds, found in verse 13 and throughout these 14 verses. But in verse 13, when he said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." What are these five words? As you read the scripture, you'll be able to see them there in your devotional time. One is presence, the presence of God. David acknowledges the presence of God, but he also acknowledges that he desires to be in the presence of the Lord. Another is the protection of God, that he can only get from God. Another is the power of God. In other words, David is conquering his conquest because God has given him the power to do so. And then when you think about the peace that he has on the inside of him, it comes because of his relationship with he who is able to do all things. And then when you think about the promise that God makes to him, even in verse 10, when his father and his mother forsake him, God promises to take up his cause. And then he makes clear to the Lord to make his paths plain. Plain path. Why? Because it's designed to do two things. One, to bring him into the protection of God and remove him from the perils of his enemies. And so when he gets down to verse 13, he makes clear that if God had not been there in his presence, if God had not been there with his protection, if God had not been there with his power, if God had not been there with his peace, if God had not been there with his promise, I would have fainted, fallen out, given up, messed up, and been laid out for good. But I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, he then made clear his expectation of God's favor on his life was necessary after he had experienced all of these things with God. And so he looked for the favor of God on his life. My brothers and sisters, that's a helpful holy hint to the believers to look for God's favor. Many times you don't see it because you're not looking for it. You don't have it because you don't recognize that God's presence brings favor with it. His presence has favor wrapped all up in it. His protection, his power, his peace, his promise, all of that comes with him. And when you begin to understand that and recognize that, you begin to seek the favor of God, listen, in every area of your life. When David made this, when he said, listen, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, this literally meant in the widest sense of the word goodness, and it meant in every area of his life. Stop limiting God to one area or another area of your life. God's got goodness in every area of life concerning you. Whether it's your health, whether it's your wealth, whether it's your family, your friend, your relationship, your job, whatever it is, wherever you are, God has favor reserved for you. But David said, I believed to see it. I'm not believing to see it. It's a non-negotiable, non-debatable, non-discussable, cemented reality. I've settled that issue under my skin. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. I believed, ED past tense. And I didn't do this today. I had believed. That was long before today. So what am I doing today? I'm looking for a miracle. Today, tomorrow, next week, every day. Why? God will make a way. How do I know it? He's already done it. And if he's already done it, he can do it again. And I'm not going to shortchange my God. I want to see it. Goodness. We see so much wrongness, so much dirtiness, so much evilness. Why? Because we're looking for it. Well, these are the last and the evil days. I'm looking. Yeah, everywhere you turn. Yeah. Won't you start looking for some goodness? I got news for you. Yes, trouble is all around you, but guess what? Goodness is too. I know it's there because at the end of Psalm 23, the word says goodness and mercy. If you don't know where to look, look behind me. Y'all catch that on your way home. Shall follow me all the days of my life. David said, unless I believe to see. So what did it say? You can't always expect the person on the side of you to see what you see. They may not even be looking for what you see. But David said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, this expectation of favor did not stop here. He said, in the land of the living. I want to see it now. While the blood runneth warm in my vein. You know, a lot of us, not many of us in today's time may know or remember Reverend Ike. Reverend Ike used to say, I can't lose with the stuff I use. And he was condemned as a prosperity preacher, et cetera, and all the rest of that. But Reverend Ike got to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Reverend Ike said when he was a little boy, and he was in New York City, and he looked in one of these fine and fabulous restaurants and saw these people eating all of this fine food, and a man drove up in a car with big old headlights on it, shiny chrome. It was a Rolls Royce. And he said something on the inside of him said, I want one of these. I want to be able to eat in that restaurant. Now, he was young, but he believed to see those things in the land of the living. And it was at one point in time, Jet did a layout on him, and Reverend Ike had a Rolls Royce for Monday, one for Tuesday, one for Wednesday, one for Thursday, one for Friday, one for Saturday, one for Sunday, and over his lifetime, he had owned 27 Rolls Royces. Now, some of you haters talking about, and we'll take all of that. Well, that's why you won't see all of that. I read the word from cover to cover, and nowhere did I see in heaven they're going to have Rolls Royces. So if I ever decided to get one, I need to see it here in the land. Y'all not hearing me. Ain't no pie in the sky over there. There are things he's reserved for us on this side that will not be available on the other side. You've got to know the word for yourself. You've got to know what God has provided. If God did not spare his only son, what would he withhold from you? If he gave you the best that he had, you don't think these trinkets and all of these material things God will give to you? If he's given you his best in his son, and yet you limit God. You limit God. And then hate on people who do not limit God. It ain't nobody's fault but your own that you don't look to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. But then he closes out this verse by saying, wait on the Lord. Because he, the old folk had it right, may not come when you want him. Yeah, but he's always on, let me throw this in here, his time. Not just on time, but he's always on his time. And he knows the best time to show up and to do everything that needs to be done. Why? Because he knows everything about everything and everyone. So David encourages the believer to wait on the Lord. Not just wait, but to wait on the eternal one. His encouragement has the right focus on the Lord. His encouragement has the right feeling, knowing that it is well when God does it. How many times have we asked God for this and we've asked God for that, but God didn't give it to us right then and right there? It's in the Word. Just because he does not give it to us the moment we ask doesn't mean that we won't get it. God considers everything about us, around us, surrounding us, and connected with us, and it may be too soon to give it to us. A newborn babe, a mother that knows better, while you sitting at dinner eating a filet mignon, one of the tenderest pieces of the beef. Matter of fact, you can go on and make it Kobe beef. And Kobe beef is one of the most expensive, moistest, juiciest, I'm getting hungry. richest sources of beef. Just a little 6, 7, 8 ounces, depending on whether it's Australian, Japan, or American Kobe beef. It's like butter melting in your mouth. You don't need no dentures. You can gum it, it just goes down like butter. But a parent who understands the digestive processes of a newborn baby would not even put that kind of meat in that baby's mouth because that baby could not handle it. Now, does it mean that that baby, that child, when it grows up and can handle that, would not receive that when the family is dining at a later date? No, but right now, that child can't handle it. And so, at best, the mama gets a Gerber jar that has beef on it that looks like brown pudding and puts it in that baby mouth. And that baby just gum that pudding. Don't you love it when they first taste it and they're not sure of it? They frown their face up and look like, what is this? And then after a minute, they get in the liking and then they go on. Some more. You ain't going fast enough. This stuff just sliding. Well, all I'm trying to help you understand is God knows what we can handle. And even though he will give to us the desires of our heart and desire for us to have his best, he will not give it to us if we can't handle it yet. If it's going to hurt us now, it's going to hinder us now, if it's going to kill us now, he'll reserve it until we can handle it. So he saves his best till we can handle his best. And so he says, wait on the Lord. Then look at what it says. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. The kind of courage that comes from knowing you're fighting the right fight. That you're prepared to win this fight. That means that you're on the winning side of this fight. That you've got the greater one who is on the inside of you than he that is in this world. He will strengthen your heart. Be of good courage. The moment your heart needs more strength to take the next step, the moment your heart needs more strength to deal with the unfolding of the rest of this situation, the Holy Spirit of God will strengthen your heart. Every time the enemy raises his head up against you, where it would make your heart weak, God shows you his strength. You see, the problem with the Israelites when Moses showed them the land and told them to go and spy it out, and they came back with a 10-2 report. The majority said, yes, the land flows with milk and honey. Yes, one cluster of grape takes two men to handle. But what Moses didn't tell y'all is there are giants in the land. And the reason why there are walled cities and great big old fruit is because great big old men eat those fruit. And we are as grasshoppers in our own sight. They weren't that in the giant's sight. They weren't that in God's sight. They were that in their own sight. And so as a result, their fear made them believe they couldn't do it. But Joshua and Caleb, their heart was strengthened. And old man Caleb, 80 plus, said, let's go up now at once, for we are well able to possess the land. Now that's when God strengthens your heart. When you see the challenge, when you see the enemy, when you see the opposition, but then you see the God who is your power and your strength, who is behind you and not behind them. And if God is on your side, the record is, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? God strengthens your heart for the battle. He strengthens your heart for the journey. He strengthens your heart for all that you'll have to deal with. You don't have to weep and moan and cry and be wimpy. But you become stronger. The harder the enemy presses against you, the stronger God makes you against him. Every time he does what he does to knock you down, God lifts you up higher. He proves to you that with him on your side, you can't lose. So he says, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And so the first time he says, wait, that was to encourage. But the second time he says, wait, that is with experiential emphasis. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why does I say carry so much